Well, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for a great time with you tonight, Lord. You know, Lord, we desire so much to partake of your unleavened bread. And Father, we help us to stick to your word and give us your grace to do that, Lord. So we trust you, Lord, to continually open our eyes to know the truth, the gospel's truth, Lord. And Lord, we know that the sum of thy word is truth. It tells us in Psalms 119. And so we desire not to leave anything out, and we desire not to add anything in that it might be unleavened. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our lives. We ask, Lord, that you please continue to open up our eyes and give your grace to us, Lord. Because you said in your word, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. So we thank you for that promise, Lord. And we claim it. We claim it as ours in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we do have the wherewithal to praise you and to thank you and to utilize our voice to thank you and praise you, Father, for all that you do. And we just ask that you anoint us all tonight, Lord, with your grace and your power to do and say the things that you want us to say in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's see here. I got to get rid of some stuff here. Had some stuff flying in the way there. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? My book yet, my notebook. Anybody got any prayer requests?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano.
I was wanting to pray for Tracy. She's
okay.
Going down to spend the weekend with her dad again.
We lost your audio.
I don't know. There's some...
Okay, now go. We lost you again. Well, we lost you completely. My. Okay. All right. While she's getting back on, does anybody else have a prayer request? Who's the 712 number?
Yeah, I actually have a prayer request, Brother Michael. It's,
okay.
A couple of days back, I told you folks I was going into the hospital to visit my mother. And, man, wouldn't you know it, all Satan has to do is convince you. Once he's got your ear, then he can tell you whatever he wants. And, you know, you've already believed him. You've already heard that voice from inside. And, you know, my mom went in with a cold. Get this. She goes in with a cold. I'm not kidding y'all, right? She is like the OJ trial when you put everything together. She goes in with a cold, right? She ends up with RSV, which is a contagious viral infection, right? They call it a disease, you know, whatever you want. All right, she got RSV is what they say. Then she got bronchitis and RSV. Then she has bronchitis, RSV, and her heartbeat drops, right? Because the medicine that, you know, they think the medicine, they examine her kidneys because her blood pressure is unstable. Those are down to 30%, right? They take her into ICU. They make you wear these, like this raincoat, dish gloves, and a surgical mask when you walk in to see her, right? If she stubs her toe and they keep her longer, you still got to wear the same stuff to steer because she had RSV at one point. So it doesn't matter. I mean, she could have an ingrown toenail, literally, and you got to wear all that brouhaha. Well, unfortunately, they're putting a defibrillator, right? Want to put that defibrillator in a pacemaker into her heart. But to do so, they want to check something out, so they start examining her a little bit more only to find out that she's got what they think may be cancer. Now, if you go into the hospital with a cold and you end up with two viral infections, her shoulder went out of joint, not once but twice, right? Literally out of socket, just pulled right out of socket trying to get a blanket, right? Has has, you know, problems like that. Goes in with a cold. She gets two viral infections. Her shoulder pops out twice. She got kidney problems, heart problems. They would have put a pacemaker in her, and now they're saying maybe she got cancer. You know, I'm really thinking that she needs to go to a different hospital.
You think?
Yeah. maybe they got something with the insurance company there going. I don't know, man. But my family, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I don't bear witness that that anything negative is going to happen, right? But my family's freaking out, right? So they're flying up and they're driving up and whatnot, all because they're getting the message, if you want to see her before the surgery, just in case, oh, I have faith, nothing's wrong. Well, then why are you saying just in case? Stop saying just in case, you know? I mean, well, while she's in good health. Well, she's in good health. Stop saying, it's so irritating. I'd like to pray for faith for my family. I told you that story to tell you that one, but I'd like to pray for faith for my family.
All right.
So as many as will agree with us, definitely, Father, you know our woes and our trouble, and you know how the devil attacks us, and you know that, and my sheep hear my voice, but the voice of another they will not follow. And it's amazing how many different areas of our life that we haven't given over to you that will allow to come in and just deter us from righteousness, deter us from, and steal our peace. And so, Lord, we just come together in agreement. We rebuke Satan over this. We rebuke the evil influence of infirmity and of disease, of all sorts of ailments that are coming against us, early death. And, Lord, we ask that you increase the faith of the people that are sending the message, sounding the alarm. Faith is a grain of mustard seed to be loosed in them. And we rebuke fear to fear. If you can't have faith and fear, you can't be blessed and cursed at the same time. The same thing, it's just impossible. You can't fight in dark. So, Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And we ask that you intervene, that you loose your angels to intervene and minister to them and keep them in peaceful spirits so they can rest and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just ask that anybody that goes to visit her that doesn't have faith, Lord, that you'd shut the door on them. Father, we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, I've seen that happen way too many times. I knew of a guy here who recently went in there to get an ingrown toenail fixed, and they wanted to cut his leg off before it was over with.
Ingrown toenail.
They wanted to cut his leg off before it was over with.
You know, what's got me thinking is with situations like that, right? Ingrown toenail, one doing amputation, right? She goes in with a cold, and all of a sudden she got... They're thinking it's a nodule, what they call it. My mom, they say, you've got a growth. It's a nodule. My mom said, my mom hears, you have cancer. We have no idea how far it spread. I'm going.
Well, can I tell you that in the medical profession, and this is nothing to you, Jackie, but people in the medical profession, there is a lot of witchcraft.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, you know, pharmakia is witchcraft.
Yep, sorcery and whatnot, and you look at that, Jesus said the Son of Man has to be lifted up as a serpent was on the pole, and that is literally what their symbol is, yeah. Right, the serpent on the pole, and we have to learn to trust in him with our headaches before we run to get Advil. Now, I'm not saying don't take Advil, I'm saying pray about it first, right? So, but at the same time, that's the little bit. You can't do that and believe he's healed a headache and he's given you peace. How in the world can you survive the onslaught of the enemy? If the footmen scare you, beware the horsemen.
Well, here's the thing. Before too much longer, God's going to take away the doctors and the hospitals away from his people. And they're going to have to do one of two things. They're going to have to take the mark or go and believe him or believe him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right, Gaynold, we got you back, girl.
Yeah, I can hear you. I guess I forgot to press star 6.
Oh, that's okay.
But, yeah, we got kicked off 3 times the other time, and we got kicked off right away this time, too. So, and I don't know what you heard.
I heard you wanted to pray for Tracy. I heard you wanted to pray for Tracy. I see it.
Oh, that's all you heard.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess I actually prayed for her, so I guess I just start all over, huh?
Okay, yeah, we'll be with you, okay?
Okay. Father, I just lift Tracy up to you, and I thank you, Father, for being with her, for for giving her a safe trip down to her parents, and pray, Father, that you give her wisdom and discernment to know what to do with the things of her dad's that she's getting ready for a sale. And also when she goes to the assisted care place, so that she knows what to speak with them, because there's some issues with how they're the meals that they're giving him with his diabetes. They've not been giving him the correct things, and his blood sugar is really high. And just thank you, Father, for keeping him through this time with his high blood sugar. And we thank you, Father, for being with Tracy and helping her to know what to do and what to say and how to take care of things. And we just pray, Father, that you give her rest when she comes back, that she'll be ready for this coming week then. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We command any stress on her to go right now in Jesus' name. Any anxiety, go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that the peace of God is all over her, Lord. We praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Yeah, she's been under quite a lot of stress because she goes down there every week. She works all week, and then she goes down there all weekend, and so she's really, really wore out. And then she's had some people messing around at her place again, too. So, you know, they know that she's not there, and so it just makes a bad situation for her.
Well, let's pray for that, okay?
That the Lord would, that he would just protect her place for her while she's gone.
Yes, we thank you, Lord, for stationing your warrior angels all around her place while she's gone in Jesus' name, Lord. And anybody shows up, tries to do any harm to her place, Lord, that they would reveal themselves. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you, Father. Tracy's going to be protected. She's going to have rest, and she's going to go down there, and they're going to absolutely comply with everything that she requests, Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I want to pray this cold weather out of here. I'm telling you the truth. It's been so cold around here. Lord, I thank you for moving this cold air out of here and bringing in the good sun. It's been sunshiny, Lord, and I praise you for that, and I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that the warm weather's here, and we're going to have warm weather tomorrow and Saturday and the rest of the time all this year, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about y'all. I'm tired of this 20-degree weather.
Yeah, Michael, I was just going to let you know there was some places in Nebraska where it was 80 degrees today.
Oh, thanks, Marlon. You just made my day, buddy. In Nebraska, that is unheard of. Come on now.
Yeah, it's not normal, that's for sure. I'd also like to pray for, I don't know, people who don't know, aren't growing up on farm or ranch country, they probably don't realize the fires that they had down in Kansas and parts of Oklahoma and Colorado. They were really devastating to the people in the farm and ranch country. I know it's bad when you lose your house or something, and you can go ahead and rebuild again, but if you don't realize what they have to go through when out in the ranch country, when the pasture burns off, when the fire is out, it's not over because the wind comes up and that sand blows and you can't get anything to grow, because every time it comes up, the wind will cut it off and it just kills it finally, and you end up with a bunch of blowouts. And they had a lot of, they had hay for the cattle, and the hay burned up, and a lot of them lost their cattle, and some of them lost their buildings and their home and their cattle and everything. And they're just really going through a lot of hard times down there. I was listening to a farm show on the radio today, and they had people on there that they were talking about it. And so I'd just like to lift those people up in prayer and have everyone agree with me. Father, we just come together and put our faith together and for these people in Colorado and Kansas and Oklahoma where the fire went through. And just give them grace, Lord, and help them to keep their eyes on Jesus, that they don't get distracted by the things that are going on and forget about the real purpose in life. And put it in the hearts of the neighbors down there in that area around to help these people, to give them feed for their cattle and to give them a place to live, the ones who lost their home. And this could be a great opportunity for people to witness to the ones who don't know you. So I just pray for boldness for those people who know you, that they will witness to the ones who don't know you. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this situation. And we pray, Lord, that you would just keep that wind down so it doesn't blow that sand, so they have a chance to get something to grow on those acres again. They said it burned over 1 million acres, and that's a huge area. So we just ask, Lord, you give them lots of grace and bless their efforts to recuperate from this and to stand through the trial they're going through. And send your ministering angels to each one, Lord, to minister to them and give them grace. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, that you're going to help those farmers. Thank you, Lord, with the good old rain. The good rain and a good way to sow back in to the pastures and the farmland there, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's kind of what happened back in the 30s, wasn't it, out in Oklahoma?
Yeah. If you've ever experienced that, it's really, really hard because once that sand blows, things don't want to grow in it very good. It just does something to it when it blows, and it can really be a hard thing.
Yeah. Well, it can take the topsoil off, can't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's where you get big blow-offs and stuff.
Yep. All right, Lord, we thank you for doing that. We just praise you, Father, because we know you're going to answer our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Go ahead, Jackie. Or David, go ahead. You already got it.
That's right. Go ahead, Jackie.
Okay, thanks. I just want to praise the Lord that I got to see my sister today. I haven't seen her since December, and I got to spend the afternoon with her, and it was just really nice. So I'm just thankful to Father that he is answering my prayers, even if it's coming about slowly. I got to see her 3 months ago, and I saw her for a bit, and then it was 3 months before that. So just thank you, Lord, and I just ask that you increase the time that I get to see my sister and get to spend time and minister to her and just show her love, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for natural sisters.
Amen.
And spiritual sisters.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, David.
Yeah, I was listening to Jeremy and then also Marlon. And I can relate to people's difficulties, because I just went through that 2 weeks of this flu thing. And that really knocked me down really hard. And also at the same time, I felt like, I remember that about a year or so ago or longer, they talked about Fundax, the fundamental vaccination kind of thing. They were going to spray it through the air and it was going to take away people's spirituality somehow. That's kind of what it felt like when it hit me. This just knocked me down, and I just had no, I had, well, I definitely had no desire to read anything, because I just couldn't handle patience and ability to do it at the time. And then I just felt my whole spirit just kind of wane. And I was thinking, boy, I feel like I'm just dying or I'm dead spiritually. And I can listen to Jeremy talk about his mother and the things they're going through there and with the family. And, sometimes when you're put in a position like that where people around them are sick or they're going through difficult times, you know, it's hard to see the healing. It's hard to experience it when you're seeing the disease. And then at the same time, there could actually be witchcraft involved. So when that's the case and you're not really sure, you have to bind it and pray against it, you know, and then wait on the Lord. And at the same time, we got to realize the trials that we're going through is what make us or break us as far as what we're going to be spiritually with the Lord. So I would just try to encourage people, including myself. I'm even doing that for myself right now, just to keep pushing on. Even though you get knocked down on your feet, maybe on your back once in a while, you know, this is, can be just sometimes it's the Lord putting us through our trials. He did it with Job, and we can expect to see it in our lives and those around us, and to have patience at the same time, not to get too wrapped up in thinking there's something wrong or whatever you're doing is or somebody else is doing it just isn't the thing to be doing at the time. Everybody has to be put in a situation where they feel that stress, and they have to find out where they're at with the Lord. And then that's the only way sometimes the Lord can press us through it, is put us in bad places. So I just wanted to let people know that this doesn't happen just by happenstance. You know, the Lord's still in control of the good and the bad.
Amen. I'll tell you what I saw. David and I both saw. We had a person that was in the hospital, and hang on just a second. Had a person in the hospital, and we were all praying up there, and we saw a doctor go in there to this person and bent over, and all the vital signs went down. And we said, we called a nurse over. What is going on? What's he doing? What are they doing? And nothing. He's not doing anything. So yeah, something's happening because the vital signs are going down. Just as soon as he bent over her, vital signs went away. And so we started praying against that. And the Lord showed us it was witchcraft in the hospital. But anyway, that was our experience. And when he went away, the vital signs went back up, started going back up. It's, I don't know, you know, I don't trust them.
I think some of them have a spirit on them or with them, and they don't even know it. They're not believers.
Yep. I believe that.
They're carrying that around with them wherever they go, you know. So.
Well, they deal with a lot of people with spirits on them, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure they pick them up themselves, but they don't have protection.
Nope. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else got a testimony, praise report, or would like to pray about something, or would like prayer? Go ahead, Calvin.
All right. Father God, I just thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for today's the day that you have made. Rejoice and be glad, Father God. Father God, we enter your gates with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord Jesus, of course with praise, Father God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done and what you're going to do in each of our lives, Father God. We put on the full armor of God, Father God, the helmet of salvation, Father God, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt around with truth, Father God, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, Lord Jesus, taking the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart from Satan and his manifest scheme, Father God, taking your word, Lord Jesus, sharpening the two-edged sword, Lord Jesus, separating the bone from the marrow, the spirit from the soul, it is, Father God, the discerner of the thoughts, the tense hearts of man, Father God. Praying always, Lord Jesus, being anxious for nothing, but with all prayer and supplication, let our requests be known to you, for you care for us, Father God. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Father God. Lead us and guide us to all truth, for you are the truth, Father God. Show us, teach us your ways, Father God. Give us the mind of Christ, Father God, for our thoughts are not your thoughts, and your thoughts are not ours, Father God. But as we become one, as you and your son are one, Father God, you show us, you teach us, Father God. For you said, Lord Jesus, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of you, Father God. Show us, teach us, Lord Jesus. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by your spirit, Father God, that you reveal yourself to each one of us, Father God, in your own loving way, Father God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you have done and what you're going to do in each of our lives, Father God. Bless your people, Father God. In Jesus' holy, wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh,
God. Amen. All right. Praise you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Calvin. Praise you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh.
All right. Anyone else? I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Jackie.
Thank you. I'm wondering, I was talking with my cousin, you know, we live close together, and she can chime in any time, but we were wondering if there's witchcraft going around our area, because about, I don't know if it was like over really sharp pains in my head. They came on suddenly, and it felt like somebody was poking like an ice pick in my head, around my temple, like by my eyes, just different areas on my head. I would bend over, and it was excruciating, but it would only last like 5-10 seconds. Then, like, you know, 20 seconds or, you know, a few minutes later, I'd get another one, and it just kept coming real intermittent. So it was shortly after about witchcraft. It was after that, I think. And then I kept coming against it and casting it down, and I didn't say anything to anybody. And then one day when her and I were talking, she had shared that after I had told her about it, she started getting the same type of pain. And then I kept getting these sharp pains like in my chest and my breast area. I'd feel these real sharp stabbing kind of pains. Like, and then when her and I just spoke just recently, she had had the similar symptoms. So we're wondering, we're in the same town, if there was some kind of witchcraft that was coming against the people over this way. So maybe we could use some prayer about that.
Amen. Yeah. What'd y'all do? Y'all pray about it? Y'all cast down all the witchcraft curses?
Not really.
Okay. Well, let's do that.
He could have sort of shared it, but we both came against it together. I mean, we both came against it when it happened to each of us on our own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've given us power, authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, we cast down any witchcraft, any curses spoken against anybody in the Outreach Fellowship in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that voodoo curses, witchcraft curses, any kind of curses thrown against them, Lord, would go right back where they originated from and stick on the person who gave them in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that that's exactly what's happening, to teach them not to do that against God's people. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, Father. Amen.
It only happened to me once, each symptom, 2 different days, but I prayed against it, and then it stopped and hadn't come back, so praise the Lord.
All right, that's what we do. We pray against it. We rebuke it. We cast it down. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I also had a dream, if I can share it. It came shortly after. It was just a snippet of a dream. I remember I was lying in bed. I was lying on the side I just sleep all over the bed. I remember seeing out my front window, like as if I'm looking out now, like I have, you know, a window out to the front, and I live on a street in a plan. A car was coming from the left, and it was white with black on it, and the word witch hunt was in black, where it would say normally police, and it drove real slow in front of our house, and then it turned left and went up the hill, and it was a convertible, and there were 2 witches in it, and they looked like happy, kind of like Halloween type, you know, witches with a big hat, and they were laughing and smiling, but the motor on a car, it sounded like a motorcycle pipes. I used to have a motorcycle that had real deep, like a throaty type, like loud pipe to it. That's what it sounded like, and it came past real slow, and they were like laughing, and they were in a convertible, and I didn't know what that meant. And then the next scene, I was lying in my bed, and then my late husband walked through the room, and I said, "Did you see that, Mac?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "What do you make of it?" I said, "It was a police car, but they were having fun." And then I woke up, like he didn't speak, so I don't know what that meant, but that came, that little snippet of the dream with the, it said witch hunt on the side of it came after I had these pains and stuff. So I didn't know if the Lord was trying to tell me something or, if they were looking for, if they were hunting out Christians, or I don't know what to make of it because I don't really interpret dreams too well.
Yeah, you're cutting out, but I think what you said was that two witches came by in a convertible, and yeah. They were laughing, and it had on the side of it, witch hunt.
Yes, and it was like an old-fashioned police car. It was like a police car from like the 50s.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. All right, anybody want to take a stab at that? I think
absolutely.
I know.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
You know, it's interesting because I want to point something out in Job. Job 3, it says, you know, Job's talking about when he starts to receive all this trouble. And he goes on in 3:25 to say, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me." You know, looking at that right there, remember we started before, the devil, all he has to do is just convince you. And when the devil went to the Lord, the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Right? The Lord sick the devil on Job. Right? He asked Satan what he was doing. Satan said, "Oh, running to and fro, up and down the earth. I've been staying inside and then manifesting, going back and forth and whatnot." And look at that. All he's got to do is convince us. And then fear spreads like a plague. Just like a plague, man. I mean, I'm going to use this reference because I wasn't born a saint, but when I was younger, we had a party, right? We'd roll up a couple of joints, we'd roll around and drive and smoke, and next thing you know, people start getting paranoid because that's what marijuana does. And you get paranoid and they're like, "We're going to get busted, we're going to get busted." Everybody starts thinking about that, and sure enough, what happens? Well, I mean, every single time, I mean, they would get busted, right? Well, when you start professing that stuff over your life, death and life is the power of the tongue, and you shall eat the fruit thereof. You start professing that stuff, and, you know, again, fear spreads like a plague. You know, that's why you have what Alex Jones has called fear porn, right? Specifically, my audio is all over the place. That's not good. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, it's just up and down, up and down. It's like you may be a little bit far away from it or something.
I'm really close to it. I'm going to have to get that checked out, maybe get a different device. But let me talk just a little bit slower. Basically, 1 John 5:18 says the hand of the wicked cannot touch us, right? If we're righteous and we sin not. And that's really where the heart of the matter is to me. If, you know, I've been attacked several times with things, and it took me a while before I stopped pointing at people trying to curse me. You know, witchcraft is real. Don't get me wrong, right? But it can't touch you if there's no sin in your life. And the devil will use fear specifically to the fear of his power to override greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if we allow that to occur, he'll continue to do it. And the Lord will allow it until we finally trust everything in him. So I would suggest to you to rebuke the spirit of fear that's allowing itself to spread like a plague. And, you know, don't receive it. Don't receive it. I mean, when I started this, I started talking about my mom, because it's just driving me nuts how much stuff she's receiving and how much her sister is receiving. And she's driving the family all into a frenzy, you know. And now that I think about it, they've always been that way. Man, I think I've been to a dozen funerals, right, literally. And I'm not that long in the tooth. I'm, you know, getting close to 40. A dozen funerals. And I have a very small family now. So I don't know why. But they always freak out and start saying this. And whenever something wrong goes horrible, it's almost like they bust out the black suits. So, you know, we can't receive that stuff, man, because that's just
resting in the power of Satan as opposed to who we are to be in Christ. You know, so my suggestion to you is to be rebuked that. I get it, right? And we can pray for you and you know, I'll agree with you in prayer for that stuff. But that's how that works. You know, I mean, if he gets you and you start thinking witchcraft, look at the chain of events. You got the stabbing pain a little bit. You told your friend, right? Next thing you know, you get a dream that solidifies that, right? And so now he's building his case. Is that what happened? Is that what I heard? You felt that, and then you said something, and now you all of a sudden you got a dream afterwards.
I felt the pain, and I came against witchcraft because I've always heard and was taught that when you get a dream, that most likely it's some kind of witchcraft. And then I had mentioned it to my cousin when we were just speaking in fellowship on the phone, and she had said that was odd because she had the same kind. And then I had the dream. I think I had the dream after I had, I think I had the symptoms and then I had the dream, but I wasn't fearful in the dream at all. I was very content and I was scared of them or anything. I just thought it was odd, which is good for me because I do battle a lot of times, as Michael knows, with fear and anxiety. And I'm overcoming a lot of that. But in the dream, I wasn't afraid at all. It wasn't scary or anything.
You know, it doesn't need to be scary sometimes. As long as I convince you that 2 + 2 = 5, I've won. That's all I have to do. That's it. I just have to convince you that something is what it is not.
Well,
and if I tell you, yes, please.
Here's the deal. If she's got witchcraft coming against her, and she prayed against it, and then the Lord gave her a dream to solidify or confirm what she was praying, then that takes the fear away. She already knows that she's already taken care of it and everything's okay. So I wouldn't even go, you know, so far as to say as that it might be something that's conjuring up itself. It might be, but I just don't see that. It might be. Does that make sense, Jeremy?
Well, brother, I hear what you're saying 100%, you know, and I'm not disagreeing with it, and I think we're on the same page here.
Okay.
Brass tacks at the end of the day, right? It's going to be the same story, which is greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if we receive that, right, and don't stand in faith against that, you know, I've got up, but check this out, right? I've been knocked down sometimes, and I've got up, and just by faith alone, I've decided not to receive an injury that I just knew for a fact a rib had cracked. And I just knew I heard a crack. I felt the sharp pain and I stood up and it hurt. It hurt. And I kept walking, not receiving it. And you know what? About an hour or so later, I don't have any problems at all. You know, now if I had received that and I babied it and I nurtured it, sure shooting, I bet you that rib would have been cracked. You know, because I just gave the devil place. That's what I'm trying to say. So,
amen.
So praise God for not accepting it.
That's right. And I've known Jackie for years now. And I think the Lord was confirming to her, because she has had fear in the past, that what she did was what she should have done, and that was rebuke the witchcraft. And she did that, and the Lord was just showing her. That's just my estimation, because it was solidifying what she had already discerned, that it was witchcraft. And so she came against it and fought against it. And praise God, I can see growth. You know, we're looking at growth here. And you're right in the fact that somebody else may have seen that thing there. Oh my gosh, I've got witchcraft coming against me. Da, 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 da. But that's not what she did. That's not what we're to do. We just know, like you said, that we take that authority over him. At the end of the day, you're right. At the end of the day, we take that authority, go against it. There we are. We're back instead with God. That's good.
Amen. Amen. And when I kind of felt peaceful that in the dream they came from the left and then they turned up the hill to the left like they were leaving, like they bypassed my house, and then and thought of a vulnerable part. My cousin Marlene said maybe it meant they were exposed, you know, because they could be seen because there was no roof on, you know. So I kind of felt peaceful about that. So, I don't know, but I mean, I feel peace, which is really good for me. Amen. Michael can testify to that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, but it's good that we bring these things out because there may be somebody else here that would have gotten freaked out, you know, because they did have a dream. Oh, my goodness, you know, witchcraft. But praise God, we're bringing this stuff out, and it's good. It's really good. Thank you, Jeremy.
We'll experience witchcraft. There's nothing and there's nothing wrong if you experience it. You just, like Jackie did, she took control of it. Cast it off, and that's what the Lord wants us to do, to be able to stand on our own 2 feet, make our spiritual warfare, and be victorious. I mean, I even on this conference call, not with Michael, but when there was another guy doing this conference call that actually went on the deep end, I experienced tunnel vision once, and it was like all of a sudden it just came right on me, and I was starting to lose my sight. And I thought, what is this? I cast it off in the name of Jesus, and it went away. And I knew that it wasn't normal. And so, yeah, you're going to get experiences. The Lord's going to allow those things to happen, and that's how he allows you also to see the victory you have in Christ's name and your authority over witchcraft and demons and demonic entities and word curses. And you have to experience it to know that your power is there. So I don't look at it as being a bad thing when you experience witchcraft. You just have to know that you can take authority over it.
Amen. Well, we're all learning. We're all learning. And it's good that we bring all this stuff out because everybody in here is at a different level. And some may not be like Jackie. Some might, you know, they may be trying to be fearful. By the way, y'all, Princess, what is today? Today's Tuesday night. I didn't see it until after I had closed the meeting down, but she wanted prayer. And it just grieved my soul that we didn't get to pray for her. So if y'all would, she's not on here right now. So let's pray for her, okay? I think it was, let me see here. Well, I can't remember, but anyway, Lord, we just lift up Princess to you, Lord, and we ask and we pray, Lord, that you deliver her from whatever it was that was bothering her. Hardness, that's what it was, a hardness and a unloving attitude. And Lord, we just command those things to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. Bitterness, go in the name of Jesus. Any kind of aggravation, unforgiveness, go from her right now in the name of Jesus. All you tormenting spirits, you leave her alone in the name of Jesus. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You leave her now. And Lord, we just ask that you put your peace and your rest in her heart, Lord, and that she would have great joy and peace in her heart. Father, and we thank you for it. Lord, and we ask it and pray that if there's any hidden unforgiveness in her heart, Lord, that she would forgive from the heart in the name of Jesus. We ask that you show it to her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for placing love in her heart. And Lord, I ask that for all of us, Lord, that you just place the love of the brethren in all of our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for placing love in our hearts for each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray a little more on that, Mike. I think it's witchcraft. Again, I was experiencing that same thing when I was down. It was coming on me and I had all those symptoms. It's just a spiritual warfare that's going on around us right now. So, Lord, we know we got some witchcraft going on, trying to drive the brethren out. Maybe it's way of your way of testing and trying to improve us and strengthen our faith in you and have us examine ourselves. So, Lord, we give that opportunity and we yield to you for those things. So we know that we have to look to you for our salvation of our souls and our mind and for our health and for our well-being. And so that we can, Lord, if there's any bitterness or anger inside of us, we can let that go. But at the same time, Lord, we know you're using these times and allowing these things to happen to us so that we can examine ourselves and make sure we're pure in front of you and so we can walk holy in your sight. So thank you, Lord, for the trials. But at the same time, Lord, since we're all seem to be sharing some of these things, we know that it's from you and it's maybe being directed to us from witchcraft. So we, right now we cast down and bind any witchcraft, any Texas curses or spells coming our way, any word curses, any kind of voodoo, we bind in the name of Jesus Christ and cast it off. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus, I command these demons that are trying to interfere with the audio and the communications in this outreach fellowship. We bind them up and cast them out of here right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that communications are established, that everything's going to be fine. Jackie's screen's not going to freeze anymore, and we're going to be able to hear everybody in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else?
Michael, I just wanted to say, I agree with you that, you know, Jackie, she recognized what it was and prayed against it. And that's all there was to that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yep.
Well, it's we got the victory, don't we, Jackie? Praise God. Yeah, that's what he wants us to do. That's what the topic is tonight, is majestic praise. And that majestic, what does majestic mean? Does anybody know? Tracy? Jeremy? What does majestic mean? Now, I know because I had to ask somebody before I came on tonight. I cheated.
Would it be royal praise?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it could be royal praise, regal praise. I don't know. Anybody else? Amen. But praise and worship is an awesome part of the Christian walk. It is. And boy, that, when she said that, I just when she said that Tuesday night, it just agreed with my spirit that we need to talk about that a little bit, because there's so much involved with praise and worship and thanksgiving. It all works together. Praise, worship, and thanksgiving all goes together. All right. Anybody want to pick up on that? Okay, Calvin, go ahead, brother.
All right. You know, like what I was talking about earlier about I praise my way out of things. I'm not talking about the praise that you and me are talking about. I'm talking about to God, thanksgiving. You know, everything that happened, you know, all my consequences. One thing I did, I praised my way. And you know what? Yeah, I went through the consequences. But you know what? You know, now I'm paying, you know, now it's paying dividends, you know, because there's something about praise, you know, because God said that he inhabited the praises of his people. And, you know, where, you know, we might be dealing with satanic things, you know, but when we praise our way, it's gone. I mean, if we really, you know, seek the Lord, that's why I love Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We can't forget about his righteousness and all these things. That means satanic, everything, germs, virus, you name it. It's everything. It's covered in the book, in the manual, and in the Holy Bible. You know, that's where, you know, we have to pick up, you know, what God says and do what God says. Not just mimic what God did, you know, just do it. You know, just like I was talking about, I don't live in eternity. I'm in eternity. See, there's a difference. Just like that, once saved, always saved. Well, you know, I'm saved, so I'm going to sit in my rocking chair and kick back and have some bonbons, have a campfire. No, God says, occupy until he comes, until he comes. So there is something about praise. You could praise your way out of things. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, who is that coming up in here? Is that you, Matt? That's Matt. All right, anybody else on praise and worship and thanksgiving? I'm going to relate a little story to you by Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was talked about one time. I always like these kind of stories because what it does, it builds faith up in us and it shows us some things about God that we may or may not have understood. This pastor and his wife had a church, and there was a teenage boy that was there as an evangelist, staying with him, and he was ministering in the church occasionally. The pastor would let him, but the pastor had to go out one night, and they got a call there at the pastor's house, and his wife took it. And this was a young couple that had a baby that was going into convulsions, was in convulsions. And so the pastor's wife grabbed that teenage evangelist, and they went over there, and they called some more people, and they went over there. And they, you know how Pentecostals do, they started commanding and casting and doing all that stuff and doing what, you know, we've been taught to do. And but nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. They did that for about 30 or 40 minutes, casting and binding and loosening and all of this stuff, you know, like we've been taught. And finally, they just all stepped back, and the pastor's wife started saying, oh, praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord. We just thank you, Father. And they did that, and they started doing that. All of them started with her. She did it for about 10 minutes before they started going in with her and doing the same thing. And you know, that baby quieting down during that praise and worship and thanking God. And then they stopped, and they started talking amongst themselves. And the baby went back into convulsions. Well, they went back into Pentecostal mode, and they went to binding and loosening and shouting and commanding and doing all of the stuff, you know. But the baby wasn't responding, so they dropped back into that praise and worship thing again. And the preacher's wife started going, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. And they started all praising the Lord again. And they just kept that up for a while. And that baby, of course, quieted down. And that child never had another convulsion again after that. And that's the power. That's the power of praise and worship and thanksgiving that God has given to us. And I can tell you some more instances that I've experienced too. People getting healed during praise and worship. It happens. Praise God. It's a powerful, powerful testimony of what God will do. All right. Anybody else want to venture out here and talk about praise and worship?
Can I use that phrase as hashtag Pentecostal mode?
Do that again, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
Can I coin that phrase, hashtag Pentecostal mode?
Yeah, you can do that.
I just wondering, because I hadn't heard that before, and I like that.
Well, you know how we do, you know, sometimes we're just not led by the Spirit, are we? We just drop into that Pentecostal mode. But if you're led by the Spirit, you'll get it right every time. But I think that's what the Lord is showing us.
Well, hey man, what happened to Paul? Right, when he was thrown into prison?
I'm going to bring that up later, but go ahead, brother. You got it.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm just saying that's exactly what he did, was he started praising the Lord. And I mean, I'll touch on this a little bit, but I won't take it all. He was praising the Lord, and interestingly enough, that's exactly what Jesus said to do. You know, every last farthing has to be paid, right? He was turned over to the officer, the jailer. They put him in stocks. They put him in prison. He was tried before the magistrate, just like Jesus said, right? And so he didn't agree with his adversary. He was tried before the magistrate, thrown into the prison. He had to forgive him and start praising the Lord. And the Lord moved for him and bust down them doors, man. And what door Jesus Christ opens, no man can shut. It was impossible, right? They couldn't shut that. The doors were boom, boom, just right off the hinges, right? So much so. And look what happened to that. The jailer got saved, you know? So that's really where that's at. Yeah, but, you know, he couldn't have done that if he was thinking about himself. If he was thinking about himself, he wouldn't have wanted to praise the Lord. He'd still be seething over all that stuff that he went through. If I'm not mistaken, is that the same one? No, that's not the one where the magistrate smacked him in the face, right? You know, ordered him to be hit in the face. But at the same time, you know, then they found out that he was a Roman afterwards. But I'm not going to go on into that, but that's what you said. But either way, it's indicative, because we forget to do that all the time. You know, we want to be concerned about the waves that are coming to us, and we forget to watch Jesus, to call him Lord, right? Well, what's that mean, to call him Lord? Jesus said that specifically, you know, when his mothers and his brothers came up, and people were sitting around him in a circle, and they said, your mothers and your brothers are here. And he stopped. He says, well, who is my mothers and brothers? My mothers and my brothers are the ones that hear the word of God and obey it. Here amongst us are mothers and my brothers, right? And that's cool, because that's calling him Lord. Obedience to the Lord is calling him Lord. And immediately he pulled Peter out of the ways whenever he said, save me, Lord. So praise the Lord. Praise him with all of your heart. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, right? And magnify him in that manner, and he'll move mountains for you.
Amen. Amen. Let me take it to a different direction, kind of build upon what you've already given us. If you remember, their backs were striped too. Now just picture this, if it was at the midnight hour as well. And because it was the midnight hour, it was dark, wasn't it? And the jailer put them in the inner prison. It was deeply dark into there. Put them in stocks. Now their back's bleeding. They're hurting. They're in pain. They could have easily slipped off into murmuring, like we probably would have done, you know. So, Lord, we sure missed you this time. Here we are, we're locked up in this prison, got stripes on our backs, and we ain't, how did we get ourselves into this mess? We missed you this time. That's probably what some of us would have said, you know. But Paul and Silas started ministering to the Lord. That's what they were doing. They were ministering to the Lord. And as they ministered to the Lord, they wasn't doing it silently either. If you remember, they were, the other prisoners could hear them. They were doing it loud. They were praising God loudly. And it was the midnight hour. How many times at the midnight hour we have murmured rather than praise God? Our midnight hour. But that's what Paul and Silas knew to do. They knew that God brings evil and he brings good to us. He brings all things to get to us in order to mature us in Christ. And so here we go. They're praising God. They're praising God. And what happened? I'll tell you what happened. He shook the place until it loosed their bonds, didn't it? And everybody else's bonds. And just like Jeremy said, the jailer, his wife, his family, all of them got saved. And they went up and had supper at the jailer's house. Praise God. So that's what happens when we praise God in spite of what's going on around us. The circumstances, all of those circumstances that come up are for one reason. That's to mature us. How are you going to act when somebody comes against you? How are you going to act when you're thrown in prison that you didn't have anything to do with? I mean, that you weren't guilty of anything. I'll tell you, we're going to praise God, aren't we? We're going to praise God, and the Lord's going to shake the prison doors open Praise God. And that's what we're going to see in the days ahead. People are going to remember that story about Paul and Silas and how they praised God while their feet were in stock and their backs was bleeding. And they were hurting all over. And they couldn't see a thing in front of them. They couldn't see a biscuit in front of them. Praise God. But they praised God. They ministered to the Lord. They didn't come out and start talking to God about, Lord, why did you bring me here? No, they just said, thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. And they were singing praises to the Lord. And God set them free. The power of God during praise and worship and thanksgiving is awesome. Praise God. That story is just an awesome story of God's mercy during praise. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yes.
Psalm 103 is something I could hear Paul and Silas singing and praising if they'd known the song. I don't know if you know the song, but bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That's the first part, that's verse 1, but the song goes, for he has done great things, bless his holy name. I want to know if we can sing that song. We can praise God with that together. If we can open the mics together and sing it.
Okay, you mean sing the song?
Yeah, does everyone know the song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul?
I don't know it, but I'll sure sing it with you. It might not sound too good, but I'll sure sing it with you. Everybody else, unmute yourself and let me get to it first, okay?
Three, for he is, I don't know where the other part is. Okay. I only know the first half is the first verse of 103. The rest, I don't know where it's at.
Okay. That's Psalms 103?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll start singing. If anyone knows it, please join in.
Okay. Hey, Tim, you're unmuted. Come on now. Willie, you're unmuted. Come on now, y'all. I'm going to unmute everybody.
Yeah.
I'm just going to unmute everybody. We're going to sing this song, glory to God.
Bless God, amen.
Oh, this ought to be interesting.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Debbie.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all
is in me.
Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for he has done great things, hallelujah, he has done great things, he has done great things, bless his holy name. So bless the Lord, Oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I see Obadiah's trying to sing too. That's good. That's good. Y'all got a good voice. Y'all got a good voice.
God, thank you.
I tried to keep mine down so y'all could hear y'all. Amen. All right, I'll mute everybody. Okay. Tim, I couldn't hear you. I couldn't hear you singing, brother.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
It sounded a lot better without me.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
I think that's what we talk about, man. Like, if we just get together and sing, like, not just when, man, you got a problem, you got fired from your job, you have an issue, right? Just start singing and blessing the Lord, right? Minister, you don't grieve, don't come into agreement with grieving the Holy Spirit, man. He lives inside you, right? So, you know, he's petitioning for that throne inside you. You know, you let him back on that. don't give the devil opportunity to reign over your life and rule your emotions. And man, I tell you what, that's what Brother Michael said earlier on, is, you know, we want to murmur and complain. That's our nature, right? Imagine a steam engine, or better yet, imagine a tea kettle, right? And the hotter that tea kettle gets, the more steam it lets off. And that's exactly what we do whenever we're mad. We want to let off that steam, and we feel a little bit of relief every time it comes out of our mouth. We're not little teapots, right? We're supposed to be for the Lord. We're supposed to give everything and be meek and be, you know, loving and kind. And, you know, imagine Paul and Silas. Man, they've been whipped. They were whipped. And, you know, somebody looked at you wrong. You know, and so that's the problem. You had a lot of bad days. The devil's going to manifest at 7-Eleven. He's going to show up and, you know, talking about you with your friends and all sorts of stuff. And we just got to let that off our shoulders and just give it to him, man, and praise the Lord and bless his holy name. Amen. Sorry, I just wanted to come out.
Amen. Preach it, brother. I'll tell you what. Somebody once said that Paul and Silas were in jail, but they didn't let the jail get in them. And that's exactly what Jeremy was talking about. If we get that praise and worship going, I'm going to tell you something. You can shake the foundations of whatever it is you're experiencing. For his God. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 26, it says, 25, Acts 16, 25. And this is the Amplified. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, you know what happened in verse 26? And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, now they were in bondage, weren't they? They were in bondage. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's hands were loosed. Praise God. So God set them free because they were singing hymns of praise. Praise to the Lord. Glory to God. Boy, you can't, man, yeah, that, you can preach that. I'm telling you.
Well, absolutely. Their hands were loosed. Stop holding on to what's causing you to be chilling in that inner prison. Let go of it and praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I like what Hagin says here. He said, basically, the tests and trials we face are all the same, but it's the attitude we have during times of tests and trials that make all the difference. That's right. What kind of attitude you going to have? Go ahead, Debbie. Or Denny. Y'all had your hand up. Oh, okay. You go back out now. Okay, I hear you. Well, praise God. Praise God. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Go ahead, David.
I like how you see Paul and Silas are praising and singing, but and the other prisoners were listening. And so because they were listening in intent and wanted to be free themselves, when the earthquake came, they were all the doors were open. They were all set free. So I think it gave hope to the prisoners to hear the praise and worship. Also, it put them in the same place to be set free.
Amen. I wonder how many people in that prison got saved that night. You know, the jailer and his family got saved, so I don't know. I bet you there were some more. It doesn't say, but I bet you there were some more that got saved because of it. Praise God. I know if I was in jail and somebody was sitting over there praising God because his back was bleeding and he's in stock, and then all of a sudden God looses him with an earthquake, I'm going to be watching that guy.
Well, just think, you got set free too at the very moment, and you're listening to the praise. There's no doubt where that came from, who set you free.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Jailer got saved twice. Right here in 27, God kept him from killing himself.
That's right. He sure did. He sure did. He was
figuring. That's what worship will do for you.
Put that flesh to death, wasn't he?
The presence of God was there because he wouldn't kill himself when the apostles cried out to him, don't do that.
Oh. Yeah. Praise God. Well, you know, I guess most of you know that Roman jailers, if one of their prisoners goes free for whatever reason, it don't make any difference if an angel's opened the gate or not. They're dead. They're history. and he was just going to take care of business before it happened. But God, but God, glory to God. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
I would say the message here also is that, you know, by our praise and worship and by others following us and seeing us get set free, we're able to set others free too. And that's what we see Paul and Silas did.
Amen.
Yeah, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sure you've probably all read or the Merlin Carruthers. He was an army. I think he was a captain or something in the army, but he was a believer. But he was sharing. He wrote a book many years ago called Prison to Praise, and in it was just a lot of testimonies and of people who were in, you know, almost they were at, you know, often at the Red Sea and impossible situations with either unsaved husbands or kids or. And they've tried everything, and it's been a long time. But when they he had a chance to minister to them, he shared with them that they had asked him if they've ever thanked the Lord for the situation, and really begin praising Him even for the bad situation. And but it was testimony after testimony. And when they started doing that you know, you're acknowledging God's sovereignty over the situation. And that He's allowed you to come into this situation, and it always was tremendous. You know, it was a victory every time over these impossible situations. But it was through praise and thanking Him for even the situation and praising Him for it, and continued praise, and then you know the result would come. But thank you, Jesus, because He's sovereign. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, Paul and Silas knew that, didn't they? Amen. They knew he was sovereign. All right. Anybody else? I remember a story. I love these old testimonies, don't y'all? Of this guy that was sick. Have y'all heard? Did I tell y'all this about the guy that was sick? And he was he was almost dead. This poor guy was hurting. And he was almost dead. The doctors had given up on him. And he was in bed, and he couldn't move. But he'd look out the window, and he saw a shade tree out in his backyard, way out in his backyard. And he said, "Man, if I could just make it there," he said, I at least will die out there, Lord. I'll either die or I'll be, you know, something's going to happen. I got to get out to that shade tree." And his wife was at the side yard. She was washing clothes outside. This was many years ago. And but he got out of bed, and he had to crawl most of the way. He was really hurting. He had to crawl most of the way, and he got out there. And the devil kept telling him. The devil would talk in his ear, and he said, "Yeah, you get out there." Said, "Buzzard's going to eat you, and ain't nobody ever going to find you. You know," and that kind of thing. "Wolves will come around. They won't find nothing of you left." He said, "That's all right. I'll go out there and I'll be under that shade tree." When he got out there, he just laid back. He couldn't move. He couldn't do nothing. He just had to lay there. Couldn't even talk. And a voice came in his ear and said, "If you'll thank me, you'll be healed." He said, "If you'll thank me, you'll be healed." He said, "Well, Lord." And he couldn't talk out of his mouth. But he could think it. "Well, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me." He started saying that. And directly he could talk it out of his mouth. Just a whisper. Barely a whisper. "Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed." And then he got a little bit louder as time went on. "Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Father, that I'm healed. Hallelujah, that I'm healed." And he got a little more strength and he could sit up. And he'd get a little bit louder. "Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. I praise you, Father, that I'm healed." Now, this didn't happen over in just 5 or 10 minutes. We're talking hours here, okay? And then after a while, he could sit up and he, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Father, that I'm healed." And directly he stood up on his feet and he started shouting it. and everybody in within miles could hear him. And they come running to him, and he would holler, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm here." And God completely healed him because he was obedient to thank the Lord. He was ministering to the Lord, you know. "Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed." He was acknowledging God. That's a good story, I thought. Prayer, praise, and thanksgiving all go in company. A close relationship exists between them. Praise and thanksgiving are so near alike that it is not easy to distinguish between them or define them separately. The scriptures join these three things together. Many are the causes for thanksgiving and praise. The Psalms are filled with many songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving, all pointing back to the results of prayer. Thanksgiving includes gratitude. In fact, thanksgiving is but the expression of an inward conscious gratitude to God for mercies received. Gratitude is an inward emotion of the soul involuntarily arising therein, while thanksgiving is the voluntary expression of gratitude. Thanksgiving is oral, positive, and active. It is the giving out of something to God. Thanksgiving comes out into the open. Gratitude is secret, silent, negative, passive, not showing its being until expressed in praise and thanksgiving. Gratitude is felt in the heart. Thanksgiving is the expression of that inward feeling. And thanksgiving is just what the word itself signifies, the giving of thanks to God. It is giving something to God in words which we feel at heart for blessings received, or blessings looking for is what I would add to it. Gratitude arises from a contemplation of the goodness of God. It is bred by serious meditation on what God has done for us. Both gratitude and thanksgiving points to and have to do with God and His mercies. The heart is consciously grateful to God. The soul gives expression to that heartfelt gratitude to God in words or acts. And gratitude is born of meditation on God's grace and mercy. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Herein we see the value of serious meditation. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. Praise is begotten by gratitude and a conscious obligation to God for mercies given. As we think of mercies past, the heart is inwardly moved to gratitude. Love is the child of gratitude. Love grows as gratitude is felt and then breaks out into praise and thanksgiving to God. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Answered prayers cause gratitude, and gratitude brings forth a love that declares it will not cease praying. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Gratitude and love move to larger and increased praying. Paul appeals to the Romans to declare, to dedicate themselves wholly to God, a living sacrifice, and the constraining motive is the mercies of God. And that's by E.M. Bounds on praise and thanksgiving. It goes a lot more into detail. He talks funny. He talks like an Englishman. But he's got some good stuff. He talks about the murmurers are ungrateful people. When we murmur against anything, then we're going against God, aren't we? And boy, and I tell you what, that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, because we know we're right, bless God. But we're not. When God brings these things upon us, it's for a reason. It's going to test us. What you going to believe? You going to believe what you see with your natural eyes, or you going to believe what the Word said? Praise God. Oh, I see your hand now, Matt. Go ahead, brother. Or Anna.
Yeah, it's me. I just wanted to share a short little dream I had the other night, if I could.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know where we were, but it was our group here, the local group, and we were, it was like in a park maybe with a gazebo or something like that, and we were in there and we were praising the Lord. And, you know, a lot of the people had their hands raised and we were just praising the Lord, and the Lord told me, get on your knees, you know, and raise your hands and praise me. And I was like, well, no one else is doing that. In the dream, I was like, I don't want to do that. No one else is doing that. And, you know, the Lord didn't say anything, and that's all he said. And I was like, well, okay, you know. So I got down on my knees, and I raised my hands, and I was singing to the Lord. And then as soon as I did that, everyone else was just freed up because everyone else is doing the same exact thing. They were going, well, no one else is, Lord, you know. And it was just a really cool dream because the Lord was showing me that it's not about what everybody else is doing. It's about what, you know, he says and or what he wants or what we know he wants or, you know, but everyone else was feeling the exact same thing. Well, no one else is doing it.
Well, I tell you what, I have often thought what would happen if somebody else got down there. You know who I'm talking about. If somebody else got down there on their knees during worship and praise and did that, would everybody drop down there too? I think so, Anna. I think so. You know, Eve does that. You know, and I've often thought, I said, I wonder if somebody else was going to do that. If they do that, you know, the whole fellowship would drop down on their knees. I believe that. I believe God's telling you something here. Praise God. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Anything else? Okay. That's awesome. That's God there. I'll be looking. No, don't let me put you in any kind of law, girl. Praise the Lord. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Tim.
Time to look today, but one thing that came to me was when Sennacherib was defeated, you know, by God, and it was because of the prayer of Hezekiah unto Jehovah, and it was initiated and led up to with a bunch of praise for God, and that opened up God's ear and brought the angels down because of the prayer, and so the praise was a real important part, and it, you know. Quite a bit in there that explains that that's the important part of getting God's ear, at least in that particular time.
Amen. Yep, that defeated Sennacherib's army, didn't it? That's what I like to call him, Sennacherib.
I just kind of wonder where Tim lives because it's still daylight there.
He lives way out west. What is it, Oregon or Washington? I can't remember which one.
We're in Washington, but it gets lighter here and stays lighter. It gets lighter earlier and stays lighter longer this time of year than you guys get. So, but the winter is we get the shorter days too.
I'll just be glad when it gets hot here, Tim. That's what I'm looking for.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm tired of this cold weather. All right, anybody else on praise and worship? Y'all want to sing another song? Praise and worship. Somebody got a story, another story about praise and worship? Testimony? All right, Tracy.
Something I'm not sure. I don't know if you guys covered this. I've been in and out at work. But when the angels that are proclaiming holy, holy, holy around the throne room, you guys talk about that?
Go ahead.
Oh,
no, we haven't talked about it. No.
Uh-oh, you're going to make me find it. It's Revelation 4, I think. But it's just awesome. You know, there's angels around the throne room that just, that's what they do. They proclaim holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. If I can find it here. Here we go. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and still to come. that's just amazing. If that's not praise and worship, I don't know what else is, you know. And that's one of my favorite Bible verses. I love that Bible verse because, you know, especially if I'm praying and I'm just in the spirit of praise, I just proclaim that, you know. We can't say it any better than those angels that are right next to the throne room, you know. Praise God. Thank you.
Amen. You know something else. When we're in praise and worship, and I'm ministering to the Lord when I'm in there most of the time. I try not to watch everybody else. I'm just trying to focus in on Jesus. But you've got some people that just sit there like a bump on a log. They don't have any kind of emotions whatsoever. And I don't understand that other than the fact that they are in so much bondage that it's time to pray, you know. But there's people like that. There's people like that. They don't like to get. They're not free in the Lord to worship the Lord in a mighty way. I have seen in one little church. This is a flea market turned into a church type setting. Okay, small. There wasn't more than 30 people there, but the pastor was a praise and worship guy. And I'm telling you, we got into worship one day, and the Shekinah glory hit us. And glory to God, I mean, it was shouting time. And what happened in that particular time was this fragrance just permeated the whole building. And it was the Holy Spirit's fragrance that came in there. And I'm telling you, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. Glory to God. Because the Lord, He wants us to worship Him in spirit. In spirit, look, when you're in praise and worship, you're ministering to the Lord. It's not entertainment. And that's a lot of times we have. And I'll tell you something now. Can I just be frank with you? A lot of these worship songs are not worship songs. They're complaining songs. They're murmuring songs. The songs about, oh me, oh my, you know, God help me get out of this mess I'm in, and all that kind of stuff, when it ought to be about praise to God. That's just me now. I'm not trying to put nothing on anybody, but there's a lot of unholy worship songs that we sing, and they should be singing about the mighty goodness of God. That's just me. And I believe that. Anybody else got a take on that?
Well, real quick, Michael, I concur. And, you know, people make fun of me. I'm 36. I'm young. I get it, you know. But the local church down the road, they use the old hymnals. Man, I'm rocking out with nothing but a piano and a guy singing. Praise God. You know, it's not like a concert or anything. You know, I like the old lyrics and the old songs, you know, and people make fun of me because, you know, I guess all these new Christian rock
songs. Amen.
You know,
amen.
I'm not saying I don't like any of that, but man, there's nothing more anointed and just awesome. Their Christmas program, too. Hi. Oh, she's. Their Christmas program is just, you know, they light a candle and everybody just things. There's no TVs or band or anything. It's just so beautiful, you know.
Willie, we're getting a show behind you there, brother. Praise God. And them girls is having a ball back there. Thank you. Yeah, that's right, Tracy. I like them old hymns too. If they singing praises to God, you know. Thank you, Lord. That's why, I don't know if y'all know who Paul Wilbur is, but I like his songs because most of them are scriptural. He sings them out of the Bible.
Can you put a link, brother, for that?
Paul Wilbur, he's pretty well known. He's a messianic follower, but boy, he's a Judaizer, I guess I should say. But boy, he's got a voice and he sings. And if you... yeah, that's it. Paul Wilbur. U-R, not E-R, U-R, I believe it is. And if you put him in there, he's got a bunch of albums out. He's been singing a long time. You got to understand, he's a Judaizer, but you can put what he sings about to the Spirit, and you sing it in the Spirit, because we know what the Spirit's all, you know, what the fulfillment of the Old Testament is about. And so when I sing those songs about Israel and Jerusalem, praise God, I think about the New Jerusalem. I think about the spiritual Jerusalem. I think about the spiritual Israel. I don't think about the old unsaved Jerusalem and Israel that's over there now. It's a bunch of heathens over there now. There's not any, very few Christians over there. But anyway, I like his song. I'll just put it that way. You just got to understand he's a Judaizer. All right, anybody else? And I'll tell you something. Go ahead.
Well, years ago, I went to some kind of a Bible study, and it was, I can't even remember what it was. I'd have to look it up. It's been a long time ago. But it's a national thing. And they go through the New Testament, different sections, and they have a bunch of men that come together. It's all for men, and they have women group too, that do the same thing. But the guy that directed this would like to sing this song called It Is Well. Is anybody familiar with that one? And you get
It Is Well With My Soul?
Yeah, you get 300 men singing that song, and that is just a powerful hymn. Just lovely.
Awesome. Willie, you took our girls away from us. Oh, my. Yeah, I like those old spirituals, too. I'm looking for one now. Sit Down Servants. Anybody ever remember that? Some of you older guys. Well, ain't no older guys but me and Tim here and Denny. I'm looking for it here. I want to read some of the words to you. If I can get it up here. All right, somebody else talk while I look this up. Oh, here it is. I got it. Listen to this. This is Sit Down Servant. It's an old, old spiritual song. And it says, here's the lyrics. Sit down. Oh, please don't make me. Sit down, because I just got to heaven. I'm going to walk around. Sit down, servant, and rest a while. Sit down. Oh, I can't sit down. Oh, I can't sit down. I can't sit down. I just got to heaven, and I can't sit down. Now, you can talk about me as much as you please. Sit down, servant. The more you talk, I'm going to bend my knees. Sit down, servant. I'm on my way to heaven to tell my story. I'm going to put on my crown and sing in glory. Oh, I can't sit down. Oh, I can't sit down. I just got to heaven and I can't sit down. Praise God. But I can't do it justice. Y'all listen to the Staple Singers sing it. It's an awesome song. Wade in the Water, too. Wade in the Water. Yeah, you know that, don't you, Debbie? All right. I see you singing with me. At least I got somebody singing with me. Ain't nobody else want to sing with me. All right. Anybody else on praise and worship? Come on now. Talk to me. Oh, my. Has anybody had any experience in praise and worship where God dropped in and paid you a little visit? Tell us about it, Willie.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gato.
Oh, I was just going to share one time. Actually, I think maybe Marlon did share this one time. We were at a prophecy club thing, and it was during the praise and worship, and just the glory of the Lord just came so strong, and it was just amazing. You know, you could just hear the angels singing, and heard the shofar blow, and And the amazing thing, not everyone heard it, but I think it, you know, that it depended on where you were in the spirit. And I just think that had a whole lot to do with what you got out of that praise and worship and what you actually heard. And it was just like the Lord's response to your praise to him and who he was. And it was really an awesome thing. And I know that I have encountered that before, too. You were speaking about the sweet fragrance, and I've experienced that, too. That is pretty awesome. And you know, you can be by yourself even and be a witness of these things. And it just, it's where you are and your relationship with the Lord and expressing your thanks and just praising him for who he is and all that he does for us. And I just wanted to share that. And I think praise and worship is something that I really enjoy, I know. And but I think it just is an individual thing. And, you know, not everyone goes to the same extent as others do. And some do it in more a quiet, personal way. But I don't think that we can say that, you know, we can't really judge where they are in that. But I don't know. It just, it's an awesome thing to experience. And I guess that's just what I wanted to share. Thank you.
All right. Awesome. Yes, it is. It's a personal experience. But, you know, when everybody gets in one accord, oh, my goodness. Praise God. Amen. All right, Willie. I'm busting out here trying to figure out what you're going to tell us.
Can you hear me? Mine was simple. This was some years ago when I used to stay with a couple of brothers in the Lord on Danforth Street. And, you know, they were, one was in the room, the other one was on the computer. And so I just sat there and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to praise the Lord. And I believe I put on some worship music, and this is when I was teaching myself how to play the trumpet. And I started praying the trumpet. And then I was like, you know, I just really want to praise the Lord with my mouth. And so I stopped playing the trumpet and I started praising the Lord with my mouth. And I was on the floor and I was just praising God. And the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit was so heavy. So heavy. I lost all function of my body. The weight of the Holy Spirit was so heavy. My body felt like, you know, jelly, like I could, you could barely move your body. My body felt like, you know, just heavy weight. The Spirit was so heavy on me. It took me a while before that, you know, that weight of the Holy Spirit left me. This happened like 4 times in my life. And I always wondered to myself, I'm like, is that the Holy Spirit? Because I often wonder, where's that heard about as well in the scriptures? Now, I know, you know, it speaks of, I think, Daniel, you know, falling to the ground and the angel appeared to him. And I'm trying to figure out, was that because no strength was left in his body? Because that's what it felt like what happened to me. Like, I lost all my strength. But, you know, the praises of the Lord was, you know, in my mouth. All my body was absent of strength because of just this heavy weight. I'm done.
Was it a good feeling?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. I wish I could have that, you know, an everyday experience. Probably wear me
out. Amen. Amen. But it might have been the glory of God that had all the goodness and sinlessness in him. And, you know, that power that God is holiness. And I remember Paul Washer talking about the time when he was crying out to the Lord. He went out in the hill country of Texas and just for a week just went out there screaming at God. He wanted more of God. He wanted more of God. And I'm going to die if I don't, what did he say? If I don't see you, Lord, if you don't show yourself to me, Lord. And he said, after he got back to school, he was in school at the time, college, at I think he was in one of those Baptist seminaries out there at Texas. Might have been Dallas Theological Seminary. But anyway, after he got back, he was still crying out to the Lord. And finally, the Lord showed up one day. And he said, the power of God came on him, and he had to get down on the ground. He got in a fetal position, and he told the Lord, he said, Lord, if you don't quit, I'm going to die. Because the sin in him couldn't stand the power and holiness of God. But he said, the Lord touched me. And when he touched me, he said, a wave went right straight through me and cleansed me of all of the sin. He said it was the most wonderful feeling that he had ever had. And praise God. Praise God, you know. And he says, to this day, and that was 20 years ago, he said, whenever I heard it. I don't know, you know, he's been on for quite a while. But he said, to this day, I remember every little detail about that experience. I have never forgotten it, he said. And I still, when I think about it, the power of God comes on him. So I like that, you know. We've had experiences here. I remember the first time I experienced it here in Tennessee with the fellowship. Was over at the boarding house. Some of you might remember the boarding house where I used to live. There's a big house where there was 8 or 9 of us living in this great big old 18 built in 1827 house over in Sweetwater. And we would have meetings over there with David and the rest of the group. And we were singing one night. We were singing in a big room in that house. We were singing Humble Thyself. You know, y'all know that song, Humble Thyself in the Sight of the Lord, you know. And we got to singing that thing, and the Lord dropped down. My goodness, the Lord dropped down. And that was an awesome time in the Lord. And then the next time it happened was on Thanksgiving. The people had come over there. And Philip, one of praise and worship leader, filmed it, and we had an audio and a film of it, and the Lord dropped in that day too. It's an awesome time, and we've experienced it a few times since then. Alright, Tracy, go ahead.
Well, I have to ask, and you might not answer it tonight, because I know it's not about praise and worship, but I was just wondering, how did you meet David, and how did you become, you know, part of this ministry? I was just curious. If you have time.
Well, let's see. What time is it? I got a few minutes. I can run that through, I guess. Let's see. Yeah, I got a few minutes. It ain't going to take long. Well, I had been, I was saved in 1997, and I'd gone through all of that stuff we go through, you know, the Baptist church, and then floated over into the Pentecostal churches, Church of God, Assemblies of God, and all that kind of stuff. But I had always asked the Lord, you know, Lord, don't allow me to be deceived. Please, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. Keep me from deception. Take me away from things that I shouldn't be in, you know, and I'd pray that kind of prayer. And I was fascinated with end time Bible prophecy. And I even before I was born again, I was fascinated by Bible prophecy. And I had studied all of the traditional rapture theories, you know, and knew about all of them. And I read the Left Behind books, you know, and it's a good fantasy story. But I always had questions about some of the verses that I'd run across, or a lot of the verses that I ran across that absolutely went against that. And I'd question people about it. Well, don't worry about it. You know, you just need to know that you want to go out on the first bus, you know, that kind of business. And so I was looking around on the internet, and I saw America's Last Days. I said, what is that about? And so I went on that site, and I found where David's teachings on hidden manna with the Prophecy Club. And I got into those, and Man, I knew all the verses, okay? I just couldn't put them in order. I knew they were there, but I couldn't put them in order. And the teachings that David gave, they started falling into place, man. I said, looky here, Lord of God, I knew this. I knew this. I just couldn't put them in the right order. And, I mean, he straightened me. I just soaked through Hidden Manna. I read Hidden Manna. I can't tell you how many times I read that because I knew that it was right. My spirit agreed with everything he said, mostly everything he said there. Some of it I questioned at the time, but, you know, as long as it went with the Bible, man, I was glued to it. And then I read Sovereign God. And when I read Sovereign God, that put the rest of it in order. Because then, because knowing that God is sovereign, you know, that just hooked me up with the rest of the doctrines of the Lord in the Bible. Because when you understand that God's sovereign, everything else falls into place. That's the way it was with me. And so, I think it was 2007 that I went down. We went to, my wife and daughter and I went vacation down to Orlando. My daughter then was in school, and took her to Disneyland or Disney World down there to Orlando. And so I decided, well, I'll just run up there and see David. And I did for a day. I shot up there and went by there and met him and talked with him and gave my testimony while I was there. And on the broadcast, he was going through a broadcast, and he wanted me to stay there. And so I gave my testimony, and that's kind of basically it. And we met, and we talked from then on. And then in 2011, he asked me to if I wouldn't help him with a few things, and I did. And that's kind of basically what it was. And then when I moved here, because we're good friends now. We're real good friends. Sometimes, you know, you want to fight him, but I'm just kidding. That's not right. but we get along real well together. We're about the same age, and he said, he always tells everybody, I like to go with Michael because it makes me look good. So that's when I get to punch him. But we've had a great time. I've learned a lot being around him. I've learned an absolute lot out from just being around him. It shows you he's taught me how to behave around people. I don't know if y'all understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes we just don't know how to behave around people. But I know now, you know, how to control myself, my emotions a lot better. But that's basically it. We're out of time. All right, anybody got any prayer requests before we leave? Now, I'm not going to make that mistake again. All right, I don't see any. Father, I just thank you so much for this great time together tonight. We thank you, Lord, for all the good testimonies about praise and worship and thanksgiving and majestic praise. And we thank you, Lord, that in the coming days, we all going to be hooked up in one accord, and you're going to come visit us. We're going to see the gifts manifested, Lord, and I praise you for that, Lord. In fact, I just ask, Lord, that you start allowing the gifts to flow in this group right here in Jesus' name, and I praise you, Father, for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep tonight. Bless everybody for the weekend in Jesus' name. Amen.